How did you come up with the topic of your address, The Lens of Truth?
Well, that's a good question. It actually happened because of a little story that I'll tell as part of my talk. While I was speaking in a state conference in Australia, I noticed a little girl sitting on the third row who was looking at me through a little telescope. And it caused me to think, I wonder what lens she's looking through. And then I realized that all of us look through different lenses. And that story has just stayed with me, and I just felt impressed to use that as a way of helping us think about what lens are we looking through and what lens do we need to look through in order to find the truth in our lives.
Was this something that you knew you wanted to talk about when you were asked to give this devotional?
Well, not really. When I spoke in General Conference about 2 years ago now in April, I thought that's what I wanted to talk about then. In fact, I went through probably 7 or 8 versions of trying to work through a talk on that. And finally, it just wouldn't come. And I knew that I was supposed to talk about something else. So it's been in the back of my mind. But everywhere I go and interact with youth and young single adults, I just worry that some of them are looking through the wrong lenses to find happiness in life. One of my assignments at church headquarters is to work on the Church Communication Services Committee. So we deal a lot with social media and other digital channels. And so I see a lot of research on millennials and others. And all of those things have kind of kept that topic on my mind. And this was just seemed like an opportunity that's what I was supposed to talk about today.
That's great. So like you said, you mentioned that that we all have two choices when deciding which lens to look through.
Yeah.
How have you seen those two choices manifested in your own life?
Well, in my talk, I'll share a story about one of my very close friends. But I've just noticed that it's easy for all of us when things are going well in our life to have perspective and to think about the value of the Book of Mormon and prayer and the gospel in our lives. It's when you hit a crossroads of conversion where something unexpected happens, where you experience a great disappointment or a great trial or a great challenge in your life, that sometimes the very thing that is supposed to anchor our life is the very first thing we eject and we leave at the very time we need it most. And so it's really at those crossroads when you have to really decide, what am I going to hang on to? What am I going to cling to? What lens am I going to look at this experience through? Because I really don't know what's going on and I don't understand why it's happening now.
So in your own opinion, why do you think we reject that anchor then?
I think we do it for a lot of reasons. I think that a lot of us think that we're a lot closer to the Spirit than we really are. And it's easy to just lull yourself into a comfort zone where you're happy and things are going well. And so your prayers are fine, but they're not great. You pick up the scriptures every now and then, or maybe you don't, but you feel fine about it. You're going to church and it's okay. And socially you're involved, but spiritually you're not engaged. But you don't know that until you hit something, and then it's too late. I mean, you've either got oil in your spiritual lamp or you don't. And so Sister Pierce and I have been down the road of life a ways now, and we just really want to warn young people that things are going to happen. It's an inevitable part of life that you're going to run into very, very difficult things when you least expect it. And that's the time when you most need the spiritual strength and perspective that the gospel can bring you. But if you're not engaged right before you hit that, it's going to be really tough.
How did you settle on your 6 essential things to survive spirituality?
Well, that's a good question, because there's lots of things you can... you can do. And their different brethren have given a different set of three or four or five or six as part of different talks. In fact, I noticed just recently that President Irene in his face-to-face devotional had a slightly different set of six. I just prayerfully tried to think about what do millennials need the most. And one of the things I think they need, one that sort of surprised me that came to me was keeping the big picture. I think a lot of millennials get locked in their own little space in their own life, and they can't see the big picture of what the church is and what it's doing across the world. One of the great privileges that Sister Pearson and I have had is to see the church in a lot of different places on the planet. And when you start to see more globally what the Spirit of the Lord is and is doing and how it is changing people's lives in the most remote places you could ever dream of, you start to get a vision for the magnitude and the scope of the restoration of the gospel. And sometimes you can lose that if you're focused on what's going on in your ward.
So what advice would you give to students who might be struggling with choosing the right lens to look through?
Well, it's the small and simple things that make all the difference in the world. It's making sure that you keep Heavenly Father first in your life. That's always your priority. And if that's your priority, you're going to keep the Sabbath day. It's making sure that studying the Scriptures is really a part of your life. It's not something you think about, well, I'll do it sometime, or I don't really need to do it. It has to become a priority in your life. It's making your prayers more meaningful. If you just did those three simple things, what you would find is the Holy Ghost can help reset your perspective. You have a different perspective on yourself. You have a different perspective on others. You can see things more as they really are. And it's that sense of perspective that I think can keep us all happier and focused on the things that really matter in our lives.
Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that the single most important decision you can make at this stage of your life, as you think about a companion or a partner, is to find someone who is first and foremost absolutely converted and committed to following the Savior and following the Heavenly Father, because you're going to find in life it takes two to meet the battles of life. And you need someone who's really, really committed and really centered, really anchored in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you do, it will be one of the greatest blessings in your life. That has been the single greatest blessing in my life, to have married Sister Pearson, who I know, if push came to shove, I know that the Savior comes first in her life. I come a close second, but I'm not first. And having somebody that committed who is your partner in life and everything else makes all the difference in the world. It's a lot easier to face problems as a twosome than it is as a one.
Thank you, Elder Pearson.
Thank you.